We welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and we welcome you as we share together. Today, I'm going to be speaking on a message entitled, Christ in Your Mind. And we're going to be reading some words from the Colossian letter, starting in the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. And Paul is writing to the Christians in the church at Colossae, and he is sharing with them the great truths about how to live as those who have been made alive in Christ. So let's listen, if you will, to the reading of the word. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, and rage, and malice, and slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Tremendous teachings, very, very relevant and very much needed to be heard by Christians and all people today. Thursday night, I listened to the President of the United States speak about the condition of this land, this world in which we live. Needless to say, and possibly you got to hear that address as well, that he spoke about Israel, he spoke about the Ukraine, he spoke about Egypt, he spoke about many parts of the world. And one thing that came up on the TV screen and thinking about his message is basically it said Israel versus Hamas, and then underneath of that, a comment to the effect, a world at unease, a world that is filled with fear. Friends, I think if we can understand what Paul is saying here to the Christians in the church at Colossae, that we will see things as we ought to see them, things that we need to understand as Christians, and that things that can make for different homes, lives, and so many blessings that could come our way. And we realize that as we come today and are worshiping our Lord, that we're mindful of the tremendous wars raging throughout our world. And I don't want to be negative. I go back to the message that I heard from President Biden, and that it seemingly is getting worse by the moments. Thousands have died. And so this morning, I want to talk about something that can make all the difference in Christians' lives, all the difference in our world, and all the different ways that you could possibly think of. And so we're going to be talking about Christ in your mind. And we need to understand when Paul is writing this letter is that he is saying that Christ is the center of everything, and everything relates to the way we think about things. Our thoughts, our heart, our mind, this is the core of who we are. And Christ is at the center of this also. Christ is in the center of everything. Think with me just a moment, if you will. The center of our faith and prayers, Christ is there. He is our only hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's at the center because of who he is. He gives us the power to see it through by making us alive in Christ when we became Christians, when we were baptized, we've forgiven and given victory through the cross. Christ is the center of everything, and everything relates to the way we think about things. Our thoughts, our heart, our mind, this is the core of who we are. And Christ is at the center of this also. And friends, this needs to be so important to us that we have a deep resolve to bring these things to our hearts and to our minds. So let's think for a few moments here about keeping Christ, listen to me, in the center of our mind. It is a practical matter, needless to say, that requires our attention. Notice what he said, and we read it earlier. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, friends, when we were baptized, we adopted the identity of Jesus and hopefully made him Lord of our lives. And our focus then rises from the things of this earth to the things of Christ in heaven. This is the new perspective of the Christian, and we often forget this. We can get so caught up in our own temptations, in our own world and everything around us, that we forget important things like these. Number one is that many times, if we are not careful as we continue to grow and grow in the grace of Christ, is that we belong to a kingdom that is not of this earth. We live in the shadow of a returning Messiah. We live under a different set of guidelines in our lives, and we walk through each day with hopes that go beyond our own boundaries. Paul, as he wrote to the Christians in the city of Philippi, the 3rd chapter in verse 20, he said, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the heart is our mind. The inner life that we live every day, it is crucial to point that inner life to the beauty and the truth of Jesus Christ. We know we have this great command in Matthew 22:37, where Jesus replied and he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love others. Have the mind of Christ toward one another." And live with the outlook that we will see Jesus. Peter, in writing in 1 Peter 4:7, says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and be of sober mind, so that you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." You see, friends, what we need to understand as Paul is writing to the Christians in the church at Colossae is that when you were baptized and you had your sins remitted, is that he is pointing out to them how important it is to have Christ in their minds. How that after you look at every angle, everything, you can easily see that Christ is everything. As a matter of fact, we read just a moment ago there where it says that in verse 11, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is all. And friends, so often maybe we do not challenge ourselves enough to realize that when we become a Christian, we die to the sins of the world. We die to the way of the world, to the wrongs, to the sins of the world, and we seek to have the kind of thinking and the kind of mind that Christ would have us to live. And so, as we see in the first four verses there of the third chapter that we read earlier on, how important it was to set your affections on things above. And also, friends, moving away from the life of the past. And Paul addresses this in verses 5 through 9. Let me read them again. Put to death. That means get rid of them. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Friends, we need to understand how important to realize that if Christ is going to be in our minds, if he's going to live in our hearts, that we have to rid ourselves of these particular sins and all sins that are mentioned in the Holy Scriptures if we are going to know the beauty of his words and have Christ in our minds. The second thing we need to be mindful of is that we need to move away from the life of the past. And we've just read about that. You see, friends, we are always in a battle. There is Satan continually wanting you to think as a person of the world, always wanting you to just do whatever you think is right, have no concern about the greatest teachings in all the world, and he just wants you to stay in that pattern, a life of sin, a life of indifference. And so we understand that we are in a battle. And if Christ is not in our minds, then Satan will be, and his host of followers. You see, friends, we all got our battles to fight, and we need to understand that when we give in to those, that God is not pleased. But if Christ is going to dwell in your mind, and if he's going to be in my mind and help me to make the decisions, the right decisions, and help me in every step of life, that I have got to get away from the life of the past. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." When we become a Christian, our sins, when we obey the Scriptures, our sins are taken away. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're added to the body of Christ. And what we need to understand, and this is what Paul is saying, is that if you're going to enjoy the Christian life, is that you have to move away from sins of the flesh. And the sins he were talking about were these: sexual immorality. Friend, our world is saturated with sexuality and pervertedness and dysfunctional behavior. And so what are you saying? Every kind of immoral sexual relation, he said, you have got to move away from this. Impurity. What he meant by that is embracing lurid imagination. Lust. the emotion that leads to sexual excesses, evil desires, wicked, self-serving desires, and then greed, idolatry, the desire to possess what belongs to someone else. And so the proverbial writer shares a verse that's very meaningful. He said, "Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes?" You see, what we need to keep in mind, when that which is above us really lives and abides within us, we are less apt to succumb to the evil and the wrong about us. And just the opposite is true. When that which is above us is not in us, then we are more apt to do the wrong and to sin. We are to have left this kind of life behind. It was an old unredeemed self. And Paul is famous for his list. And this list is like many others. It's not meant to be complete, but an indication of the kind of life that we should have left behind. The problem is that many times we find ourselves tolerating or even rationalizing these things in our lives. Move away. And also move away, as he talks about in verses 8 and 9 that we have read earlier. But he says, and read them again, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips." And what he is saying here is the importance of moving away and replacing old ways with new ways, and how important that is. In verses 8 and 9, talking about the sins of the heart, he says, "But now, as I read just a second ago, you must also rid yourselves of all such things, anger, rage, and malice, and slander, and do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." You see, none of these things characterize the new life that we have in Christ. And when we seek to have the mind of Christ, Christ in our minds, then we realize that these things that have been mentioned, the many, many sins that and wrongs that he has mentioned, is that these things characterize, none of these characterize the new life that we have in Christ. And so we need, thirdly, to realize to replace old ways with new ways. Well, I remember just like it was yesterday in many ways when I became a Christian, when I shared the confession of faith before the brethren at my home church, the Grafenberg Christian Church, and when I was baptized into him. And I'm sure that there were those who were put in my path to help me to understand that when I became a Christian, that one of the many things that took place is that I was forgiven and my sins were remitted. And also, and this is a part of a godly family, a godly father and a godly mother, is that they help you to understand the old. We've got to get rid of the old. We've got to get rid of the many things that might have been a part of our lives when we were in the world, when we were not outside of Christ. But as the verse starts out in that very first verse, is that Paul said to them, "Now what you've got to do now," and this is what I'm sure that the Lord did, he put people in my path to help me to understand what it says there in verse 1, "Set your affections on things above," to rid yourselves with the things that are wrong, and then to seek to have a desire to fill your mind and to do the things that Christ would have you to do. And so we need to replace old ways with new ways. Let me ask you, are you a Christian? Have you been baptized into Christ to receive the forgiveness of your sins, to be added to the body of Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And if so, Can you see that as the days and weeks and months and years have gone by in your life, that you realize that if you're going to be a Christian and know the peace and the joy that comes from being a Christian, that we must get rid of the old and seek to have the way, or seek to do the things that Christ would have us to do, and to have the mind of Christ. Put on the new self, he said, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And he says, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. All believers, you see, friends, are one in Christ. And we are all seeking to put on a new self. The very reason that we give our lives to Christ, and that is to have our sins and our wrongs in our lives taken away. And we become a Christian so that we can become a new person. We don't want to be involved in the wrongs, the evils, and they are many, my friends. They are many in our world today. And he wants us to have a desire to put on a new self, live a new life, one that is in the image of its creators. Barclay, the great theologian, said that one of the great effects of Christianity is that it destroys the barriers which divide. And notice what we read, and I just read it again. Here, there is no Gentile or Greek, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and in you all. It destroys the barriers, you see, when we become a Christian and when we seek to have Christ in our minds. It destroys the barriers between the cultured and the uncultured, the greatest scholar and the simplest son of toil in the world can sit in perfect fellowship in the church of Christ. It destroyed the barrier between class and class. The slave and free came together in the church. In the presence of God, the social distinctions of the world became irrelevant. So ask ourselves now, we've talked about what we must rid ourselves of, must realize that when we are a Christian, have become a Christian, that we are a new person and that we want to have Christ in our minds. And so we must ask ourselves too, how do we keep Christ in the center of our minds? Friends, first of all, to make the choice daily by praying for it. You look at any and all decisions that we make. Needless to say that if we have Christ in our minds, it is going to make all the difference in the world. Seek out God's help. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, says in the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, he said, "The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then also make the choice to trust. Make the choice to trust. I say this verse of scripture every night that I put my head on a pillow, and that is, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. How do we keep Christ in the center of our lives? Make the choice daily by praying for it. Make the choice to trust, and make the choice to listen to God. In John 8:32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And also, friends, make the choice to think about the best things. Paul in Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Keeping Christ in the center of our minds. Friends, I cannot begin to tell you how strongly that I feel about this portion of Scripture. because as we all know that we have to train ourselves to have the best behavior and to display the best behavior. And the way we can do that is to have Christ, His teachings, His ways in our hearts and in our minds. It is so true that one of the most necessary efforts is to guard our hearts, and that's an intentional choice that we must make. If we are going to do, and if we're going to honor what Paul was speaking to the Christians about in Colossae, and that how that they could live a godly life, or how that living as those made alive and being as made alive in Christ, is that we understand our part in this situation, that we must realize where we have been, and that we must make it an intentional effort to put into our minds, to have Christ in our minds, so that we might think about the right things. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." What a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. Let me read that again. Proverbs 4:23, and that is to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And then sixthly, we can only do this having Christ in our minds, with the help of Christ, who makes us alive when we follow Him. In Colossians 2:12, I'm sure you've heard these words before, and it says having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him. How true that is, raised with Him. Friends, I hope and pray that you understand, and all of us understand as much as humanly possible, that we are living in a time where unbelievable things are taking place. We're living in a time when, as the president said Thursday night, Israel versus Hamas, a world in fear, a world at war, and a world that's very concerned. And this is very true. We're seeing some unprecedented things taking place. And friends, I just pray that you are a Christian. And I just pray that you, as a Christian, realize that the sins and the wrongs of life cannot occupy our minds, that they have to be ridden of, and that we have to seek to have Christ in our mind and an understanding of how He would want us to live and how He would want us to think. Father, I thank You for these words. Thank You for Your great teaching. And we know that the way that we think is going to determine a large degree how we respond to life and how we reflect that we are a Christian. Give us the strength, give us the wherewithal that we might so live that the world would know that we want to have Christ in our minds. In His name we pray.